Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, October 28, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by the Epson Workforce Pro, the world's fastest two-sided printer delivering high-speed automatic printing, copying, scanning, and faxing to keep your business running at full speed. Plus, you'll save on ink. The Epson Workforce Pro, check it out at Epson.com. And by Slingbox, which just turned your iPad into a television. Slingbox has a new iPad app, so now you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you take it. Check it out at Best Buy or Slingbox.com/TWiT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zaktar.
I'm Darren Kitchen.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the day of the seventh game of the World Series.
Woo. We had no idea, Tom.
The show itself is not taking any sides in the Rangers-Cardinals battle.
No.
Except for the side bets.
We hope they both win.
One of the hosts is.
They both win.
Yeah.
I hope all the players win tonight.
Everyone's going to win. They're all going to get trophies at the end. It's going to be like...
Here's your participation
trophy. It's
going
to be like kids' soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're all winners.
We'll stop at three innings.
Is there a World Series of T-ball? This is important information, and this is why you tune into Tech News.
Exactly. Also, we've got news about Samsung overtaking Apple as the world's biggest smartphone shipper.
They were in the left lane.
In the UK, they were in the right lane, but they overtook them all around the world. And shipper, not seller. You'll see headlines that say seller. Those headlines are mistaken. I want to make that clear.
Like this one?
Well, this is like the story last week.
Yeah, like the one from Bloomberg.
This is like the story last week when we talked about the tablets, the Android tablets growth, and how it was all based on shipped tablets versus the iPad sold. So,
which you say, wow, those numbers are fascinating, but then you figure
they were only
you're not
million
figuring
off.
In anything that's still not sold in a warehouse sent back.
So, you know, there's still a significant figure because most of the phones that get shipped do end up getting sold.
Mm-hmm.
But we just like to make that clear. Strategy Analytics reporting Samsung shipped 27.8 million smartphones in Q3, up from 7.5 million in 2010, a huge jump. From Samsung. They're not going to be shipping those if they don't think they can sell them. Apple shipped 17.1 million in Q3, up from 14.1 million. So they take second place after a brief period at the top of the charts. Nokia is in third. Their shipments fell, actually, from 26.5 million to 16.8 million. Nokia still leads in total handsets, though, because of feature phones and flip phones and stuff like that. Samsung also reported record revenue from its phone division. Thank goodness they were shipping all those phones because that helped mask a slump in earnings from computer and memory chips and panels that allowed their profits to fall 23%. Plus, they got all those legal costs, right?
Yeah.
Well, Samsung's numbers for smartphones isn't that surprising considering... They have Windows Phone and Android. They're playing both sides right now, so they can do something like...
Well, and how many total models of smartphones does Samsung have?
How many versions of the Galaxy S2 are there alone?
Yeah.
That already has like 12 different
variants.
If they
weren't number one, you'd be like, what's the problem?
you could say this about other companies, though. HTC has a lot of models. They do Windows phones. Motorola does Windows phones. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of people doing both sides of the aisle here, so why is
but what's
Samsung
the what's
jumping
HTC's
ahead?
HTC's Galaxy S2? You know,
it's the Evo, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they're offering more choice. I mean, the iPhone is just the iPhone. With, you know, Samsung, they have a broad gamut of phones, and you get to choose. Do I want the phone that has, you know, a version behind of Android or two versions behind of Android?
There's a couple
that I'm bitter.
There are a couple of things about Samsung that would make them different. I mean, they make the chips. I mean, HTC's got to buy them from somewhere else. So Samsung can get their own RAM. They can get their own processors. They can put it in their own phones. And they have their own version of Android, or at least the skin on Android. So they have their own software. I mean, HTC's got a similar
HTC
thing.
HTC has a great
They have their Sense UI. But I think Samsung has the opportunity to get these phones out there much easier because they're basically dealing with their own internal their own camps, saying, hey, processors, we need these. Hey, RAM, we need these too.
Yeah, and people in the chat room are already saying shipped is not sold.
Right.
And we said that.
Very
we
good.
Made that very clear at they're the start of this conversation.
They're on a delay. It's okay.
But shipped is very close to sold. So shipped is not a number you just throw out, especially when you've shipped 27.
Sold zero phones.
When you've shipped 27.8 million versus 17 million.
Yeah, even if it's 10%
that's
off.
That's a lot.
It's an increase.
I think it's worth paying attention to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Motorola does not make a Windows phone yet. They have one announced that's not out there in the market.
And you also got to figure, now that Samsung isn't selling their panels to Apple for the iPhone, they've got all those extra panels to put in their own phones.
Are they not? I thought they were. Oh, they're still ordering the chips, but not the panels.
Right.
Okay. Also, Samsung Electronics said Friday that it is aiming to launch mobile phones with flexible displays next year, with tablets and other portable devices.
These are not bendy phones.
No, it's not like the Nokia thing the other day.
I thought they were like the Burning Man crew you were just talking about. They were kind of just more open-minded screens.
Yeah, they're
flexible,
they're
right?
Flexible,
they're not adventurous.
Oh, different kind of phone. Never mind.
They are bendy, but it's not that you bend them while you use them.
They're not bendy, malleable.
They're bendy in the sense that you could have the phone be curved because the screen is flexible.
Really hard to put in a pocket?
Why do you need a curved phone?
Well, they're very curved glass phones. With
your
Galaxy,
pockets are curved.
The Galaxy Nexus?
Not curved like the weird
macaroni-looking
phone we just saw.
So you're saying like a phone, kind of like a hip flask.
Wait, you're a woman. You just put your phone in your purse. I learned this from HTC's Rhyme.
You don't know what I do with my phone.
HTC told me. I believe everything they tell me about women.
I love dongles, too.
Yeah, exactly. Won't touch that one.
I'm going to go back to the Samsung flexible display. Hang on a second. What if they were designing phones that were differently shaped? Like, that could be on your wrist. I mean, LG has tried this. A lot of companies tried this idea of putting more displays on not just a phone, but like on a wrist. A Samsung phone on a wrist wouldn't be too crazy if you had a display that was curved.
Yeah, that could curve around the wrist.
There's no reason that you have to think of it as, it's a phone that has a curved display, so much as it's a device that has 3G connectivity that can show you phone calls and all kinds of things on your wrist, in your pocket, or wherever.
It's cool technology. I think because we hear about it the day after we heard about Nokia's, like, bendable interface where you actually bend the top to click and stuff, we're like, well, this is not that big a deal. This is just... It's fixed. It's bent like an S, but you can't do anything with it.
Now, was the...
First world problem.
Was the Nano...
They just look melted to me.
Did the Nano actually have like a curved screen, or was it just a curved glass cover?
I think that was a curved glass cover.
Those old generations.
Yeah, exactly. This is the screen itself is it's OLED, right?
Right, I think it's AMOLED.
Because you can't do that with the LCD, AMOLED. So it's AMOLED. All right, Google TV getting an update. Going to be upgraded to Android 3.1. That's Honeycomb. Bring in redesigned UI, and the much-wanted App Store is coming in a sense. In fact, they've got what? They got a couple thousand apps, right? Something like 1,800.
I think they said 1,800.
Yeah. Well, it's the Android marketplace, essentially.
It is an Android marketplace.
Yes.
It's a very small subset of the Android marketplace.
And yet it's not an Android TV.
That can actually
TV.
Work on a television.
This already drives me nuts. So Ice Cream Sandwich is coming. It's unifying all the Androids. But Google TV's Android is a little different. It's 3.1 still. And all the apps obviously can't work the same because it doesn't do voice calls and it can't do touchscreen, obviously. There's a whole lot of limitations to this.
You could probably get up
but
off your couch.
That's not that different from iOS. Not every app on iPad works on the iPhone.
Yeah,
so that's a tablet. This is a set-top box.
Right. It has more of an excuse to have differences because it's entirely different machine.
They shouldn't be calling it Android then. This is not Android.
What? Why shouldn't they be calling it Android?
Because
it's still
an
Android.
That looks
that's
nothing.
Like saying, I can't call it Windows on the phone because it's not the same as Windows on the desktop.
So let me get this straight. So you have an application. You want to actually run the same application from your Honeycomb tablet or your Ice Cream Sandwich tablet one day, and you want to have that same application and the same experience on your television. You may not have that. You don't find that to be a little irritating, or this is going to be a problem for Google TV?
You don't have that on iOS either. You have AirPlay, which Google still doesn't have the capabilities of with Google TV, which sucks. I mean, I know that they're working towards that, but that's not what they have. But it's not as if you have the same OS experience on any platform.
You're right. You want Angry Birds on your Apple TV, and you don't have it. Whereas, I'm just going to put this out there, root it.
Well, yeah. We can always get around the inconsistencies on these things. I just think that for Google, they're trying to break into something. And they're saying that, look, we're going to have applications on your television. But they're not going to be exactly the same that you're used to. And I think that's going to cause a problem.
Well, no, some of them are going to be the same as long as they can take advantage of the hardware. It'd be stupid of them to say, every Android app can run on the Google TV. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, some of them are going to be broken because it's not a phone. That's just ridiculous.
And it's not a touch.
Why would you do that? Run the whole thing. I'm just saying this is completely different.
It's not completely different. There's 1,800 apps, and many of these are the same apps you can get on a phone and a tablet.
Oh, you're right. That would totally help them if they just ported it all over and said, all of the apps in the Android marketplace will technically work. You have to hit the menu button, and then if you want to emulate a touch thing, and then that would really get them good press.
Well, the point of the update is that they actually want to consolidate all of your TV viewing into a new electronic program guide. They're moving away from saying, oh, we're trying to replace live TV. They're trying to play nice to Hollywood. So they're going to have the ability to aggregate content from sources like your live television, HBO, Netflix, all the authenticated providers one guide.
No, Hulu.
Hulu's not on board yet. YouTube is, though, because they're owned by Google, and they feature dynamic channels that begin playing related videos as soon as you type in a search term. So it kind of works like Pandora for video.
I'd like to see this in action because I love the concept of just play stuff that you think I'm going to like so I can be a little bit passive and just not have to be clicking through YouTube videos, but imagine.
Yeah, I could only imagine if it's anything like Pandora, the thumbs down button actually won't work, and no matter how many times REM comes on, you can't keep it from
working. What are you talking about? The thumbs down option on Pandora works just fine.
Oh, not on my
station. Every time I thumb something down, I never hear it again.
But then you hear another song from the same band.
You can already test this right now. YouTube does this on YouTube.
Are you talking about the lean back?
The lean back experience.
Yeah, the lean back is great.
I'm guessing the exact same technology that's
going to. Probably, yeah.
So if that works, then this should work. Sony Google TVs will get it on Sunday. Logitech review units, like the one I and Sarah own, will get it sometime later.
Oh, you didn't pay for it?
I look forward to that time, whenever that is.
I didn't realize you got a review unit. I just went and bought mine from the store.
Logitech review is the name of the unit.
I'm just excited to see how crappy the processor really is when we get this update.
Yes. And we'll finish up with the new partners they've got. Because remember, they partnered with CNBC. There was a Netflix app on there. Here are the new folks. Let me know. By a show of cheering, whether you're excited. CNN Money.
Mm.
Flixster?
Yeah.
You can get Ultraviolet on Flixster.
Yeah.
Fox Business.
No comment.
Cricket.
That sounds
IMDb.
Depressing.
Yay.
Khan Academy.
What's that?
Yeah.
That's the free education. That's like you can go to university without having to pay any tuition.
I love it.
Motor Trend.
Hooray.
NPR.
Yay.
Wall Street Journal TV.
All right.
Yeah. All right. New devices also delayed. They said they were going to have new devices by the end of the year. They're not. Now they say the old devices get honeycomb. New devices coming after the first of the year.
So that could be next.
Maybe we'll see them
December.
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah. That makes more sense.
Exactly. It could be any time after the first week. Nokia's Stephen Elop gave a couple of interviews yesterday. The one he gave to the Financial Times is making all kinds of headlines. But apparently he said the same thing to This Is My Next yesterday morning, and we just missed it, about the idea of Nokia doing a tablet. Here's what he said, kind of in vague terms, and then we can parse it.
You recognize that the user experience of Windows 8 is essentially a superset or supercharged version of the Nokia Lumia experience that you saw on stage today. And you see the parallels and the opportunity for commonality from a user perspective. You say, wow, this is more than just smartphones. There's a broader opportunity here. And clearly we see that broader.
So he's talking about Windows 8 and saying, hey, we're excited about Windows 8. There's a broader opportunity here. We see the parallels. He wouldn't come right out and say they're doing a tablet, but he did mention tablets and personal computers, even, as a place to use this new operating system. And why would he say that if Nokia wasn't at least considering it?
Well, if you take a look at Windows Phone 7 and you take a look at what Windows 8 is going to have with its start screen, all the tile interfaces, again, Xbox 360 with a very similar thing on their dashboard. I mean, it would be very simple to teach somebody that uses a Nokia Windows Phone, this is the Nokia tablet. It's a little bit more powerful. It integrates with your phone. This is something Microsoft's been trying to do for a while. And if they have a partner like Nokia making these devices, it could be a great benefit to them. But it must, I mean, I wonder if their old Nokia CEO is kicking themselves saying, you know, didn't we do tablets a while ago?
You know,
and that nobody used?
And a netbook?
Yeah, I was about to say they did a netbook, the Booklet 3G, and it was actually pretty fantastically designed. I love the idea of like the power button on the side of the chassis, the all aluminum stuff. I mean, that was a great, beautiful computer. So, you know, I'm excited about it. So, I mean, obviously they need to be looking towards the future of what's going to be the next profitable center, because I don't see a resurgence in candy bar phones anytime soon or flip phones, you know.
Yeah, they have to advance.
I mean, they're bringing up the what is it, third place we were just talking about earlier in smartphone category, so you know, it just makes sense to look at this stuff.
I think the only thing that doesn't make sense is them not putting out a tablet in the next year.
Yeah.
They have experience doing it.
They've learned some of their mistakes. They won't have to do the operating system because they got a relationship with Microsoft. The question is, will people buy it?
Mm-hmm.
I think they are perfectly capable of making a fantastic tablet or a fantastic Windows 8 tablet.
Don't you think the Nokia Lumia is going to be a good sort of foreshadower about this?
Maybe.
If that does well and people really like it, you know, it's sort of a big Lumia that we could be looking at.
And he talks about the Lumia platform, the Lumia experience being supercharged mm-hmm. with Windows 8. So,
well, I mean, he needs to because we're not, I mean, just like HTC will tell you that it's all about the Sense UI or that Motorola will tell you it's all about Moto Blur. I mean,
yeah, exactly. It's a party line.
Yeah.
It's a good point. All right, let's take a quick break and thank one of our sponsors for today, the Epson Workforce Pro, the world's fastest two-sided inkjet printer. Epson has engineered the Workforce Pro for productivity, delivers high-speed automatic two-sided color printing, copying, scanning, and faxing, all to keep your business running at full speed. And Epson has designed the Workforce Pro to help you save on ink. The ink cartridges have extra high capacity. You need that. And it gives you 50% less cost per page versus color laser. Workforce Pro prints from mobile devices like smartphones and tablets fast and easy. I've tried it. It's really easy. Plus, it's 580 sheet paper capacity, means you'll load paper less often. That's the Epson Workforce Pro. Check it out at Epson.com. Epson, built to perform. Let's move on with some more news about Google. Google's Maps Street View service is coming indoors.
They're driving the trucks into buildings.
Yeah, just take those Google Street View cars. And
privacy has gotten out of control.
Right
again.
Through the doors.
How are they going to get around
this
one? Sorry,
folks, we're mapping. Out of the way.
Sorry about that glass, ma'am.
No. Google is giving users a look inside shops. They are asking businesses to request a visit from the Street View team. They will not drive their vehicles through the doors. Rather, they'll come in with a fisheye lens, take 360 views so people can view a shop from the inside. And they require businesses to warn their customers that the Google folks will be coming. They've promised to blur out or refuse to publish any photos that have people in them, any bystanders anyway. The employees can be in there as long as they're okay with it. But they don't want to just capture people like in Google Street View, you know, taking a whiz on the side of the road.
Right.
Hopefully there's nobody taking a whiz inside shops.
What kind of stores are you going to?
Horseman.
Yeah, but that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Google.
Couldn't they just go right before or after the store closes and not have to do a lot of blurring?
Would that give you the real experience?
That makes sense to me.
Seen something like this. I mean, obviously, they've done this before. If you followed the Google Art Project, they went to 17 different museums, which is pretty amazing because if you don't ever have the ability in your lifetime to go to some of these, at least you can visit virtually. It was Google Deals. I was checking out that new kind of Groupon-ish service, and they have the inside Street View kind of thing on some of the restaurants. And it was interesting. There was, like, people in motion, like waiters and stuff walking in the background. So they
were skewed
and stuff. And you could see there were, like, patrons in the establishment. And I thought it was great.
Nothing identifiable?
It was nice because it really did, like, if you're new to a place, to have that kind of, you know, sense of geometry, that kind of like that establishing shot. So when you walk into a place, it's not completely foreign. I think you'd be more adept to actually visit.
Google Street View is one of my favorite time wasters in a place where they've obviously really mapped out all of those, you know, little cobblestone streets and cities I've never been to. It's like you're walking through the street. And then I've actually gone to cities after the fact and been like, yep, that's exactly what it looked like. I feel like I know where I am right now.
I use this store would be the same. A lot in Montreal when I was visiting to figure out, okay, what's the best route to walk?
Yeah.
Because I'd look for markers. So that when I was out walking, I didn't have to constantly look at the map and try to figure out where I was. I was like, okay, there's that gas station that I remember seeing in Street View.
I did the same thing in the UK, and I found weird signs like this one that's like got an arrow, and it says Mojo. And I was like, when I get to the Mojo sign, make a left.
Exactly. It's great stuff that way. Google will invite restaurants, hotels, shops, gyms, and vehicle repair shops. They ruled out big brand chains for the time.
What about, Jason and I, we've got our little side business, the Kitchen and Howell litigators.
We laminate and litigate. They ruled out big brand chains.
We don't want any cameras in our facility.
They ruled out hospitals and they ruled out lawyers' offices.
Jason, we're going to have to find some other solution for this.
No Kitchen and Howell.
I don't know if I want cameras in our establishment.
Why would they rule out lawyers' offices?
Well, I mean, that sounds like it's an expectation of privacy thing.
Yeah,
same thing why they're going to blur out images of people and even shops. I mean, when it comes to Google Street View, the reason why they were allowed to take all these photos, there's very little expectation of privacy when you're outside. When you're inside a mall or near a shop, there's a higher degree of expectation. And if you're in a lawyer's office, odds are the attorney will say, look, blur out everything. Everything.
So it'll be exciting.
Pretty much useless other than to find the restroom, I guess, in a lawyer's office. But like, there's going to be very little use.
The carpet appears beige.
That tells me so much about that place.
Like, yeah.
I'll win my case against them.
All right. And then obviously with the HIPAA thing with hospitals.
With hospitals. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Anthony Rose is one of the co-founders of the BBC iPlayer, which has launched to some controversy, but mostly love in the UK. He has left and started a new company that launched their product anyway on Thursday evening called ZBox. In fact, it gained App of the Week status in the iTunes store in the UK. It shows users information, apps, and downloads about shows they're watching on TV, creates hyperlinks on the fly out of material discussed in the shows, and lets users follow show-based social network, chat, and see what their friends are watching. So essentially what it's doing is consolidating all the things you might do while you're watching TV, like Twitter, look up actors on Wikipedia, all that stuff, and puts it in one interface for you.
It seems like it makes it a lot easier to sit there and watch TV without hunting for things. I know if I'm watching TV and I want to know if that actor's in something I've seen before, I want to open the IMDb app or go to Safari. Or if I want to see that song, I have to open Shazam. Or if I have, like, at least this way, you can kind of sit there and wait. Okay, hopefully it'll pop up on the right pane and then you can select. It seems like to bridge the whole ease of use for a tablet user or just anybody sitting with a second screen, you're more likely to press buttons if you don't have to keep searching for things.
Mm-hmm. Or switching between applications. I mean, it sounds like the ultimate, like, ADD couch potato multitasker's dream come true. And I like the idea of, like, the whole collaborative watching experience. I mean, you see that, you know, like when TV shows come out. But then there's the whole problem where, like, you know, they're still going to have the same issues, which is, like, if you're on the East Coast, the West Coast, wherever you are, the time that it's airing, the channel it's airing, all that fun stuff. So
yeah, it's a spoiler factory.
Yeah, it is.
That's what it is.
I do like the idea of it,
though. Yeah, well, you think you'd use it?
I mean, I think not for everything I watch on TV, but like Ayaz was saying, there are certain shows, especially if I'm new to them, where I'm like, who is this actress? I had never heard of her before. And, you know, it's like you sort of start doing these blind searches. And if there was something built into an app where I could just get a lot of information on this show and kind of get up to speed, I think I'd really be into that. And especially if I'm enthusiastic about a show, because we all have those shows that we love, you want to meet strangers who are also enthusiastic because it excites you.
Well, isn't this also been the dream of interactive television? They're calling it augmented television. But the idea that, you know, you're watching a show and you're like, oh, that's a
second
cool pair of jeans or whatever it is. But you don't want to click on it on your TV, even if you did have widgets, because you're in the middle of watching a show. Mm-hmm. But of course,
but you would like to go to your Amazon app and buy those jeans right
there. And it
makes
sense that it's on that second screen because, you know, honestly, raise your hand if you don't watch TV with a laptop or a tablet on your lap.
Oh, no, I always do. In fact, I was thinking about
this. It's very hard not to.
Two of the things that I do most often on my tablet while I'm watching TV, one is look up actors to find out, like, where I know them from. So this would be perfect for that because they're going to tag those actors and then I can just hit their name and it'll show me them and say, like, oh, they've been in this, 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 and this. I'm like, that's
I could imagine it being so great, too, if they, like, actually, you know, dealt with the studios and the producers and everything to get the time codes of, like, you know, when Alec Baldwin walks in, then boop, it just pops up and you get the time code. And then have it.
Although
kind of
Alec Baldwin,
real-time.
I know. I need those other character actors. And I'm like, who's that?
I know Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
Somewhere.
The other thing I do is when I was watching the Rugby World Cup, I was having a blast on Twitter talking to people, but it was a lot of like refresh, look for a hashtag. This seems like it would stream that stuff out. So it's like only the people watching the game at the same time as you can get in there and chat with each other, which is really cool.
Yeah, and the app's supposed to also automatically put in hashtags for you. So instead of you, if you have a bunch of people that aren't exactly paying attention to the TV, now they put them on the bottom left. I don't know if you notice this. This is like hashtag Glee, whatever. You don't have to figure out what is the actual term should I be looking up. It's going to be automatically populated on this app.
Now, right now, it's only available in the UK iTunes App Store, so it's only going to have UK TV channels because that's where it's launching first. There you go. All you people who complain about us talking about Netflix in the UK, we're talking
You've
about something that only you have.
You could be watching Top Gear and the Stig would come on and be like, hey, this is the Stig. Who is it?
They won't tell you.
No, they won't.
They are working to bring it to the U.S. and Europe shortly. So keep an eye on their website, zbox.com, ZEEBOX.com. Let's finish up with a couple of new readers launching for tablets. Sources tell All Things D that next Wednesday, Yahoo may officially launch Live Stand. And shortly thereafter, Google will probably launch Propeller, which is an HTML5 reader for iPad and Android. Both these are Flipboard-like products that are trying to compete with Flipboard as news readers.
The Google news reading app does not surprise me because Google wanted to buy Flipboard.
Right.
And Flipboard said, no thanks, we are good. So it makes perfect sense that Google would launch a competitor. with Google Reader, which is actually one of the things I like most about Flipboard, that's how I read Google Reader almost exclusively now, I can see them putting together something really nice. They also say that they're planning to integrate with Google Plus. I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but if they can do it well, I will welcome that, certainly. Yahoo's app, the news reading app marketplace is really busy already. We've got Zeit, you've got NewsMe, you've got Editions, that's AOL.
Pulse.
You've got Pulse, I'm probably forgetting a couple, in addition to Flipboard. And I think that Yahoo is going to suffer from the same issues that they suffer from as a destination. I mean, if you read news on Yahoo, you probably like something like this. But they're certainly not number one in that arena. And I don't think an app is going to change anything.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like the Yahoo offering has gotten a whole lot of development support from what we're seeing here in the article. Just calls of bugs and complex technologies to program for. And
well,
that's kind of
Carol
important
Bartz
stuff.
Announced it in February and said it was going to come in 3 months. So it's now...
They got other things to worry about, I think. Yeah,
well, she's gone.
Maybe it just didn't compile. They're still looking for that last semicolon.
Right. Yeah. There's that one little code error that's throwing things off or wasn't properly commented. And until it's properly commented, they're not going to put it
out. Nothing's ever shipped without proper comments, especially not in open source.
I just don't understand these things. I use Reader, R-E-E-D-E-R, because I want to be able to mark things, star them, keep track of them. Flipboard and all these others are very beautiful, very easy to use, but they're not good for collating. For collecting stories and referring back to them later. It's more of a, I read something, I maybe Twitter about it, and that's it.
Yes.
I think this really validates Flipboard, and not that they needed any validation before.
So many people are after them.
Yeah, and I mean, they're already evaluated at 200 million. They've got 60 million in venture behind them. It's good stuff.
Let's move on to the news fuse. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you about something very serious now. Battery life on your iPhone 4S. If you're suffering from low battery life, Apple's taking notice. The Guardian reports that Apple engineers are contacting some iPhone 4S owners to try to solve those battery life problems. So maybe they're real. You're not imagining it after all. One owner told The Guardian that a senior Apple engineer had contacted him and asked him to install a file to collect data that the engineer then collected a day later. Theories on the bad battery life involve bad contact lists from both Google and MobileMe. Deleting and reinstalling those lists sometimes fixes the problem, but Apple's on the case.
In an attempt to appease the Indian government, RIM has set up a facility in Mumbai to handle surveillance requests from the government, according to the Wall Street Journal. If RIM receives a request to spy on a certain person, RIM will provide the government messages from that person. Although the Indian government isn't even 100% pleased with this arrangement because it wants the technology to code information on its own.
Off the record, tech secure. Come on, people.
Hulu will soon start streaming content from CW like America's Next Top Model and 90210. I know you guys have been waiting
Vampire
for
Vampire Diaries.
Hulu
Ringer.
Plus will get programs the day after they air on television, and the free version of Hulu will get episodes 8 days after the original broadcast. CW content won't be exclusive on Hulu. You'll still be able to access it on the CW website. The CW is a joint venture of Warner Brothers and CBS. Hulu's racking up the broadcast networks. Maybe CBS proper is next?
Yeah, and it's owned by CBS, even though it's a joint venture. Mm-hmm. It's under the CBS umbrella, so
that would be great. One location for all your online video.
Hmm. Reuters reports that Yahoo's sales talks have ground to a standstill. Private equity firms haven't seen Yahoo's financials since Yahoo requires each party to sign confidentiality agreements and prohibits the firms from joining bids. And the sale is perceived as a, quote, half-hearted auction since the board is split on what to do with the company.
I am only going to pass along stories reported on by The Guardian in this news piece. Guardian reports that HP will kill the WebOS division. Even though they're keeping the personal systems group, everybody's wondering what they're going to do with that. Guardian says they got some inside info that they're going to cut 500 jobs at HP and just close down WebOS. The quote is, there's a 95% chance we all get laid off between now and November. And I, for one, am thinking it's for the best. That's an anonymous WebOS employee talking to The Guardian. HP has yet to officially decide the fate of the WebOS division.
According to AndroidPolice.com, the very popular Dolphin browser sends every URL you type into its browser to a website owned by the makers of the browser. Contents of the website aren't sent, but sometimes URLs can be very descriptive. The developers of Dolphin explained the URL is sent to their site just to check if Dolphin already has a customized webzine version of the site available. Now, Android Police and the Dolphin team have been in communications. The Dolphin developers say they fixed this all with version 7.0.1. Android Police does not agree.
You know, it's not like they could just send a hash of the URL or something like that either.
Well, they said they're going to fix it, right? They're going to fix it.
They're going to fix it, okay?
Fixed it.
It's not fixed
My wife
yet.
Has their T-shirt. They have to be good.
yeah.
That's the mark of excellent browsers anyway.
I'm only getting software that your
I'm
wife has
disclosing.
T-shirts of.
I'm just disclosing. Yeah, all right. I might be biased.
Oh.
Completely unrelated to Dolphin, Apple's lossless
Dolphin fanboy
audio codec, ALAC, is now open source. Apple made the announcement on macOS Forge, and it's available under the Apache license. ALAC can compress audio 40 to 60% without audio degradation. So if you wanted an alternative to FLAC, you've got one.
No need for tears. The Onion Router, a.k.a. Tor, helps keep your identity secret while online. And this is a must-have for dissidents and authoritarian regimes, and which is why a recently discovered flaw was so unsettling and dangerous. Now, the Tor project has released an update to its software that blocks some of the critical vulnerabilities. Tor no longer sends out the TLS certificate chain as part of connecting over to the Tor network. It also changes the route code to block probes to test them for clients that are still transmitting TLS certificates.
Federal judge says that cell phone retailers in San Francisco will not be forced to place posters, placards, or stickers warning of cell phone radiation around their stores. The CTIA had sued the city after San Francisco had passed an ordinance that would require retailers to post notices that cell phones emit RF energy. The judge also concluded that the retailers must hand out pamphlets to inform consumers. San Francisco attorney Dennis Herrera said the city will appeal the decision, thus keeping CTIA fall in San Diego for a few more years. Damn them. All right, let's move on to the randomizer. So
it was a baseball transition.
Thank you.
Whatever.
I appreciate
it. It's for you, Tom.
I don't understand why you would think I would want that. What could possibly lead you to that conclusion? A Kindle. The whole point of a Kindle, ladies and gentlemen, is that it's light. You can have thousands of books in there, and it won't get any heavier.
That's my number one thing I like most about the Kindle. It's not reading.
No.
It's the lightweightness.
It's the backpack.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, have you seen, like, college kids with the backpacks these days? I mean, it's insane.
My shoulder still hurts from carrying around my backpack
in
college. Yeah.
Now, but though I want to warn you, Tom, your 4-gigabyte Kindle is actually going to get 17 microjoules more energy than if it were full, than if it were empty. And that's, are you willing to put that 17 microjoules of energy extra?
Wait, that's like a tenth of a virus.
It doesn't
so it's
matter.
It's not that much heavier.
But it's heavier.
It's technically heavier.
If there's a straw that breaks a camel's back, right? There's got to be some point.
This is the tenth of a virus that
like,
breaks the camel's
it.
Back?
That's exactly what happens.
Poor camel. You should have seen a chiropractor.
The Kindle that breaks the camel's back.
If you see the headlines around Kindle makes for heavy reading, by the way, I'm sticking to only reporting on Guardian stories. This is coming out of the Guardian. Why is everything coming out of the Guardian
today?
That's crazy.
Billionth of a microjoule for every bit of data stored. Somebody think of the microjoules.
They do say that just setting it out in the sun will make it heavier as well because it absorbs radiation, absorbs heat energy from the sun, which also makes it heavier. So
it'll be heavier and you'll never notice.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what
That's
you will
random.
Notice? Slingbox, our next sponsor. You'll notice him because all of a sudden you'll be able to access your television anywhere you go, right? Okay, think about this. Right now, you probably got a television in one or two rooms, maybe three or four, but you can't see the television when you're walking between those rooms. You can't see the television when you leave your house. The Slingbox makes it so that you can see that television anywhere you have an internet connection, which conceivably could be anywhere you go. They have a new iPad app, which makes it your iPad into a television. That's almost a television-sized screen. In fact, I think it's close to the same size as my first television from back in the 80s. So you can watch your television on your phone, on your laptop, on your iPad. Check it out at a Best Buy or visit slingbox.com/twit. You'll thank us for doing that. And I'm not just saying that because they're paying us, but they are paying us. Slingbox, I use it all the time. It helped me get to the seventh game of the World Series without missing a pitch. Slingbox.com/twit. We thank them for their support of Tech News Today. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Tom.
What's on the calendar?
I'm glad you asked me that, Tom. Would you like a playbook? Oh, wait. You already have a playbook.
Got one right over
here.
We can
all get
Would
them.
You like...
Ooh, the three of us don't have playbooks.
I've only got one, though. You know, sometimes I leave this one here and I wish I had a second one at
home. Would you
like
a free playbook?
Absolutely.
All you have to do is buy two playbooks and you'll get the third playbook free.
Such an idiot.
Tom, you could buy, they're just giving them
you
away.
You could buy Ayaz and Sarah playbook and then you'd have a free one to give me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Christmas Wait,
sorry,
for everybody.
Sorry, Jason, you're out.
That's buying three. That's buying two playbooks.
Yeah.
You have to buy two.
So
in order
buy
to
two,
get
one,
for free.
One. I get one free to give Diaz, and I'll just give you this one.
That's not one.
It's not one.
Buy
for
two,
one.
Get one free. Not
Wait,
buy one,
buy
get one
two,
free.
Get
you
one
have to
free?
Buy two yes. to get yeah. one free.
You get three in all. Yeah. You pay for two.
You get, yeah.
And the next discount.
What are you going to do with three playbooks?
Buy one, get three
I think
free.
It's
a Beowulf cluster of tablets.
It's like Rim gets our money and gets rid of some inventory.
This is an enterprise play, right? For people who want to buy a bunch of tablets for their office.
Yeah.
That's
or just, or they're just trying to get rid of the time of year that people might be thinking about gifts. Anyway, if you're interested in a playbook, you can get three for the price of two. Also, the Engadget Distro issue 10 is out. Why am I talking about this? Because it's a very special episode featuring a look into the early life of Tech News Today host Ayaz Akhtar and his geeky upbringing.
That's me when I was six or so.
Now, Tom, you were already featured in...
I was featured in the last issue of Distro. Yeah,
but we didn't talk about that.
No.
Ayaz's story is just really good.
It's more compelling.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is.
You'll learn a lot. I learned a lot about Ayaz reading this.
Me too.
You'll find out why I am the way I am.
And Distro is the magazine version of Engadget.
Yes.
If you look,
it's laid out
like,
differently. There's actually different pictures in there than
they've
you
got
saw.
A, like, a table of contents. Look, Ayaz's picture is in the table of contents. And they
it's really nice.
They also have a cover, and Ayaz is mentioned on the cover. It's like
it's the bottom,
we knew him when
it's like
he wasn't featured.
10 sexy things women want, and Ayaz Akhtar's geeky life.
finally, we knew this day would come. Now we just have a date. When Facebook bought Beluga back in the day, before they pretty much turned it into Facebook Messenger, Beluga stayed afloat as an app. We all figured it would die eventually.
It will stop
swimming on November 11th.
It's going extinct.
Yeah. Which is,
you know, belugas are actually close to extinction.
Yeah,
so
I know. It's very
maybe
sad.
This will raise awareness.
Well, they will live on.
This makes sense, though, because right now they're competing with each other and it's the same company. So the Facebook Messenger is where it's going to be.
The beluga lives on as a Boeing. The airplane geeks
out
there.
Are you calling belugas
that.
Fat? Because really,
no.
They are.
No,
there's a transport.
There's a cargo.
Oh, right, okay.
There's a cargo ship called
cargo
beluga.
Ship
called,
yeah, anyway. Interesting. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Let's check what's incoming.
Incoming message.
See other things we didn't know about, like another use for dual SIM from this caller.
Hi, this is David from Southern California. I was calling to let you know the dual SIM on the phone is also used overseas in countries like Vietnam and Thailand for backup SIM, because in those countries, you have to pay cash to the retailer and he'll recharge your SIM card. So if you run out of minutes, you're out of luck. So the second SIM card is a backup when you do run out. So just FYI. All right. It's vital to show. I'll talk to you later.
That's interesting. Not as interesting as the I need one for my wife, one for my girlfriend use that we had yesterday. But still, yeah, lots of uses for the dual SIM. Cool. Thanks for that information, caller. Also got an email from Jeff in Knoxville, Tennessee. We were talking about the Bone 787 yesterday, some of its in-cabin technology. And Jeff wanted to point out that Boeing used high-performance computing, in other words, they used supercomputers, in the process of designing the cabin in the 787, including improving airflow and reducing noise, reducing fuel consumption, and in the process of designing the wings. On the Boeing 767, which Boeing built a decade or so ago, Boeing had to build 77 full-scale wing models for wind tunnel testing, which is very expensive and time-consuming. By modeling the 787 wings in software, they only had to build 11 full-scale wing models, saving them a lot of money. He also mentions that they used Krays in the 787 design, which is way cooler than USB chargers in his seat, according to Jeff. So thanks for the info, Jeff. That's cool stuff to know.
And to tie it around, actually, the 787 wings were probably shipped in an Airbus Beluga.
In a Beluga!
The Airbus Beluga
show,
is
show, me, show the camera.
Okay, so the Airbus Beluga is actually a... It's also fat.
It really
it's a
is
big
fat
aircraft,
like a
but
Beluga.
What's beautiful is most Boeing parts ship in an Airbus Beluga to get from factory to factory.
I love that little whale plane. Pretty cute.
I just love the idea that Boeing parts fly in Airbus craft before you fly in them.
Yeah. it's like the food chain of the ocean.
It's a contradiction. So great.
Next email from Apple Employee 101, so anonymous. Hey guys, longtime listener. I'm just writing so I can give you a little perspective on the iPhone sales. I've been working at an Apple store for a while now. I've worked in a few launches. Never have I seen so many resellers coming into the store to buy iPhones. In the past, Apple would try to limit this with reservation systems and limiting the amount to that an individual could buy. Example, max 10 phones per person. This launch was different, at least for our stores in Eastern Canada. He says Canada. Apple seems to have given the okay to sell these phones to individual resellers who later seem to export these phones elsewhere, example, Asia and the Middle East. These individuals buy on average 300 iPhones per day, stock permitting, and easily account for 50% of our total sales, if not even more. That is interesting.
That is. Now, normally when we get these kind of anonymous things, we're a little skeptical because this guy sent it through Hushmail. He wants to protect his identity. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we're like, well, we can't confirm it. But since we do know that they're not doing reservations, it wouldn't surprise me that this is true. And I'm curious why Apple decided not to limit resellers this time around.
To sell more phones?
Well, yeah, but you think they would have wanted to sell a bunch of phones last time, too. So why limit it at all?
Well, it's not a what would Steve do?
Arguably because the 4S was kind of not exactly as a huge change between the iPhone 3G and the 4. If they wanted to pump up numbers, mm-hmm. maybe to make the 4S look like it had a larger splash than it would have normally, allowing the resellers to get access to it where they normally wouldn't, it could pump the numbers up a little higher because there's a big rush in the beginning. First 3 days, we sold 7 million. Not 7 million.
Well, and in the past, one of the justifications for the reservation system was making sure that everybody got a chance to have one and the resellers didn't buy them all up.
But in this case, since it was just a building on top of the same chassis,
they figure a lot of people actually have it already. Yep. And probably they looked at their supply chain. Remember, Tim Cook is the master of the supply chain and said, you know what, we got enough in that supply chain. We can handle the resellers buying them.
Huh, I wonder if there's any source...
Yeah, I think maybe they were just more prepared.
It'd be interesting to see if there's any source of data of actually activated iPhone 4S's in the United
versus
the sales and how many got exported.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Apple Employee 101, whoever you are. And thanks to everybody on our Reddit. TechNewsToday.reddit.com is the place to submit stories. Now, some people kvetch that they submit stories and they never get picked up. We have 3,109 people submitting stories. So if your stuff doesn't get picked up, that's just one of those things of Reddit. Don't try not to take it personally, but do go and vote things up and down that you see that other people submitted. It takes a community, and people like Doc Grimes, Captain Kipper, White Hat TX, and No Pass are in there submitting stories, and those are getting picked up. And we thank everybody who's voting and submitting. The voters are just as important, if not more important than the submitters, in helping us to pick our stories. Go to technewstoday.reddit.com. And thank you, Darren Kitchen, for coming in every Friday. It's always good to see you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
What's going on at Hack 5?
Hack 5, we are talking about octothropes and why they're important in shell scriptings, because everybody loves a shebang.
Does there people who like octopuses?
No. We'll talk about an octothrope later, but you got to tune in to find out.
All right.
More from DerbyCon 2011. Check it out.
HK5.org. And that's it for us. You can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv. Give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW. Good luck to the Texas Rangers. I grew up 45 miles from Busch Stadium, so I'm going to be cheering for the Cardinals all the way. But may the best team win. We'll see you on Monday. One of us will be World Series champ.
I think you will, Tom.
Woo! I'll win it personally.
One man against nine.